Definitions of a disciple. So what is a disciple? While you could definitely say a disciple is someone who displays those eight attributes in their life, that is more of a descriptive answer than a definite one. If you look at the New Testament, the word disciple occurs 269 times, whereas the word Christian only occurs 3 times. Although the term Christian has been watered down and many see discipleship as an optional matter, it is clear that this is not what Jesus intended. After all, the early disciples were called Christians because they were learners, students, and apprentices of Christ. Thus, just as being Canadian is a part of the identity of a Canadian citizen, being Christian or being a disciple is an identity issue. Dr. Robert Coleman describes a disciple as a learner who's following Christ. You learn by following, and that means since we are finite and God alone is infinite, there is never a place in the journey where we stop learning. Pastor and martyr Dietrich Bonhoeffer defined a disciple as one who adheres to Christ. The philosopher and professor Dallas Willard defines a disciple as an individual who desires above all else to be like Christ. Henry Blackaby, author of Experiencing God, defines a disciple as one being taught by many means intentionally in a specific direction. Steve Murrell, author of WikiChurch, breaks down a disciple into 3 aspects. It's following Jesus, it's fishing for people, and it's doing that in conjunction with others, in fellowship with others. Although all of the previous definitions of a disciple are nuanced differently, the common thread that holds them together is movement toward Christ. This is encouraging because it lines up directly with our first microshift, from destination to direction. While there may be agreement on what a disciple is, the problem is figuring out how to actually move people toward Christ and disciple them. The joint statement on discipleship at the Eastbourne consultation still proves to be right, even though it was released more than a decade ago. As we face the new millennium, we acknowledge that the state of the church is marked by growth without depth. Our zeal to go wider has not been matched by commitment to go deeper. To this dilemma, we now turn. From output to input goals. There are 4 ways that people try to lose weight. The first is to simply just try to lose weight. No goals, no plan, and no vision. Just a lot of hard work. This method of dieting reminds me of those times where you put in a lot of grunt work, but find yourself with an unpredictable success rate. The second way is to have a clear output goal, like losing 10 pounds before your beach trip at the end of the month. Output goals are the results that you want or the future that you envision. So with your bathing suit hung up, a scale in your bathroom, and an image in your mind, you weigh yourself every day. Unfortunately, this method of dieting doesn't work either because an output goal and a vision for what could be does not actually burn calories. A third way to lose weight is to actually make the microshift from an output goal to an input goal. Input goals are the things that you can do today that will produce the results that you want tomorrow. Output goals. In other words, input goals are the levers that you can pull to influence output goals. So focusing on input goals like monitoring your calorie intake and exercising regularly is another way to try to lose weight. Although you may get healthy by doing these 2 input goals, you won't necessarily lose weight since you can easily just eat more calories than what you are burning through exercising. The only surefire way to lose weight